The Old Testament reading for the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels is from Daniel chapters 10 and 12. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who is charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come. But woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye then with two eyes, to be thrown into the hell of fire. see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 to 11. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the most striking things about Jesus compared to other religious leaders was that he treated everybody equally. We have plenty of stories about Jesus having dinner with the leading elders and rabbis in town, but he had dinner just as often with tax collectors like Zacchaeus, with prostitutes, and with other sinners who had been excommunicated by the synagogue. Jesus also treated men and women equally. He called a circle of 12 men to be his special disciples, whom he called apostles. But Jesus also had another circle of women who followed him and who financially supported him and the 12, Luke chapter 8, 2-3. The story of Mary and Martha demonstrates that Jesus welcomed female students into his class, Luke 10, verse 39. And that was unheard of in both the Jewish and Roman cultures of the day. And all the men, except for Jesus, thought that teaching women was just a waste of time. From the Gentile perspective, perhaps the oddest thing about Jesus' social habits was that he welcomed children and treated them with the same respect as he would an adult. Jesus was, in this respect, a good Jew. In the ancient world, Jewish attitudes toward children differed from those of non-Jews, whose children, that is, the non-Jew children, were almost non-persons. The lives of pagan children depended absolutely on the will of their fathers, who could put them to death on a whim. Thus, it is not surprising that the ancient pagans practiced abortion, left unwanted babies outside to die by exposure, or even sacrificed their children to Moloch and other gods. That's just what they did. Nobody thought it was any different. Jews and Christians did not follow these practices, which they believed incurred the immediate and temporal wrath of God. See, for example, Leviticus 20, 1-5. From the beginning of Israel as a nation, children were considered members of the community, and they participated in religious rites, most notably circumcision for male infants, and then the Passover for both boys and girls. In our gospel lesson, Jesus goes one step further by granting to children the status of being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. His own disciples had asked him before the text, who was the greatest in Jesus' kingdom? Jesus called for a child, put him in their midst, and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verses 3 and 4. So what does Jesus mean here? He certainly does not mean or imply that children are sinless or without faults. You know, I have some vivid memories of my kindergarten classmates when they and I were 6 years old. Some of the boys already at that age were bullies, and they had fun beating up other boys, including me. That's why I remember this. Some boys were cruel to animals, and they boasted about what they did to their own pets. Some of the girls were gossips who loved to tear down the reputation of other girls. Most of the kids only obeyed the teacher because they were afraid of the consequences at home if they didn't. Things have changed since then, you know. But is this the sort of sinful behavior that Jesus wants adults to imitate? Certainly not. So then what does he mean? He's saying two things. First, in verse 3, Jesus is saying that unregenerate adults, that is, those who are not Christian, need to have an attitude change and become like children. This change happens, of course, only through the work of the Holy Spirit and the means of grace. The word turn here is really a synonym for the more common word in the Bible, repent. In the Bible, a person who repents is someone who recognizes that first they are a creature of God, made by God, that they are dependent on God for support, and that they are a sinner under God who is subject to God's judgment. You cannot enter God's kingdom unless you are changed in this way. Children are an example of what repentance looks like, because they know that they are subject to the will and judgment of adults, and they are dependent on adults for support. Second, in verses 5 to 11, Jesus is talking about children themselves as being members of the kingdom of heaven. That is clear by verse 10, which states, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." This means that in terms of their status before God in his kingdom, children are equal to adults. This is because both adults and children are accepted into God's kingdom solely because of the merits of Jesus, not because of their own merits. If people were accepted into God's kingdom on the basis of their virtues or religious works, well, then maybe children would be inferior to adults. See, adults can perform all sorts of impressive religious and charitable works, and they can make a rational decision to adopt a particular religious belief or lifestyle. Although this gospel lesson is not the only basis for the Christian practice of infant and child baptism, it is one of the important ones, and I believe it's in our catechism, that is, the Synodical Catechism. It provides the theological basis for understanding why infants and children should also receive the sacrament that ushers them into the kingdom of heaven, that is, baptism. And we have that font right out there to remind us of it every Sunday. If children are equal to or greater than adults in the kingdom of heaven, then there is no reason to deny them the sacrament of baptism, which is an initiation into that kingdom. Those who deny infants and children this essential gift thereby imply that little ones are inferior, although they may not realize that that's what their practice means. In modern-day America, the churches that deny baptism to infants and children are the Baptist churches. Most of the evangelical churches that trace their origins to the Great Awakenings of the 18th and early 19th centuries, and those that come from the Pentecostal revivals of the early 20th century. A much smaller group in America that deny infant and child baptism are the Anabaptists, such as the Amish, Mennonites, and Hutterites. In the case of the Baptists and evangelicals, the basic rationale for denying children baptism is that they are incapable of a conscious and rational decision for Christ, made publicly before the community of faith. Only when a person is able and willing to make this, quote, decision for Jesus, can they be baptized according to those churches. These churches elevate an adult attribute, that is, rational decision-making, above all other attributes, such as faith. Did you notice that? They put reason ahead of faith. These churches believe that you are saved not by faith in Jesus, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but by your own rational decision-making. And this doctrine then makes adults superior to children, but it's directly contrary to the words of our gospel. The churches that do practice infant and child baptism today obey the words of our Lord in verse 5. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. On this basis, Lutheran and many other churches include infants and children in the sacrament of baptism. We believe that baptism gives to the baptized the Holy Spirit, just as John the Baptist predicted that Christian baptism would do, Matthew 3:11. Those who receive the Holy Spirit through the water and the word of baptism also receive faith, and that is essentially trust in God. When Jesus says that adults should become like children, he is not telling you to imitate their sinful qualities. He's saying that you should imitate their simple faith in God and his word. God has given you his own word in the Holy Scriptures. Those who have childlike faith accept all the Bible as being God's word, simply as a matter of course, without question. Those who do not have such a childlike faith argue with, or they deny, the portions of Scripture they disagree with. Those who humble themselves by accepting the entire Scripture as God's word fulfill verse 4 of our text, which says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." May our Lord grant to you such faith in God's word every day, so that you will see his kingdom come just like the little ones. In Jesus' name, amen.